Hey, good morning, everybody. This is Dave Weiner, and I'm here to talk to you about a new thing that's coming out today called EC2 for Poets. I wanted to explain. Now, I do this little podcast thing. I used to do them very frequently. This is like the way I begin them all these days. I used to do them really frequently. Now I like do them on special occasions or like when I want to do an interview with somebody. For example, I did a podcast when we did the open source release of Frontier. That was back in, 2005, I think, maybe. Yeah, I think it was 2004, 2005. Quite a while ago already. So I did a podcast back then that explained why and what my expectations were and my hopes were for it. And I find it's a good idea to do one of these podcasts when something may have some more meaning to it than might be immediately apparent. And so this is a good way for me to explain that. So I guess let's start with the name, EC2 for Poets. It came from the name of a class that we had at the University of Wisconsin when I was a grad student there. And it was called Computer Science for Poets. And I thought it was a beautiful idea and something that we need a lot more of, which is take something that's inherently technical and instead of doing what technologists like to do with it, which is make it mysterious, is to try to take as much of the mystery out of it as possible, try to make it easy. And it can be done with some amazing results. You know, it's like riding a bicycle. If you were to describe to somebody the components of bicycle riding, well, there's a pedal and there's the handlebars and there's brakes and gears and wheels and there are potholes and nasty cars, car doors opening, you know, and whatever. All these things that can go wrong. You might never want to ride a bike. But if instead you said describe the experience of riding a bike and then said, really, this is how you do it, never mind all the theory of it, this is the how-to part of it, then a lot more people would ride bikes. And in fact, our parents probably, for many of us, our parents did that. It basically involved just taking you out and putting you on the bike and running alongside with you. I remember this very well as a child. Dad would run alongside and he would hold the bike seat and he'd go, well, it can't be too bad because my father's right there holding the seat. And then after a while you'd look and he wasn't there. And that was that, because basically bike riding, there's part of bike riding that you just can't like understand, that the wheels go forward, the forward motion of the wheels always moving forward, right? That is the vector of the bike. Getting such a thing to tip over actually is pretty hard. And so bikes don't tend to tip over. They tend to stay upright. It seems kind of counterintuitive. That's the way it is. So I looked at EC2 as being this like wonderful thing, but I found it very difficult to get started with it because at first it was, because it had all these like ideas, these things called, let me get this up on my screen, just rattle off some of the names that they use here. Running instances, EBS volumes, key pairs, elastic IPs, EBS snapshots, security groups, AMIs, EC2 itself. These are all names that don't mean a whole lot to a normal person. And if I told you what some of them stood for, like IP or EC2 or EBS or whatever, it wouldn't do very much to enhance that. You know, you wouldn't understand it any better. Some things like, for example, like security groups actually have a name in the world that we are all sort of familiar with, and it would be easier if they were to use that name as a firewall, basically. So, I got through this with some help from documentation that was written by people at Amazon and elsewhere, and just by sorting through stuff. And and they're hard-won lessons. But once I got through it, I realized I think that almost any technical user could do this. And I was thinking of somebody like Scovel or even Naked Jen, neither of which probably would ever in a million years think that they could create a server running on EC2. But I think that they could, or I thought that they could. And so that's why I wrote EC2 for Poets. It not only goes back to Wisconsin, but it also goes back a little bit, not quite as far, when I started using CompuServe. And this was like in the early 1980s. And I really wanted to put my own software up there, you know, because I was a software writer. And I had all these ideas for things that would work better than what they already had up there. Whether they actually would or wouldn't is, remains to be seen. I never got the chance because they didn't let people run software up in their cloud. But Amazon does let people. In fact, that's their business. This is the same Amazon that you buy shirts from or refrigerators. It's amazing that they're in this business at all. And their offer is basically this, is that we will run the server for you. And you can start these servers anytime you want, and you can shut them down anytime you want. You don't need to do a special contract with us. You don't need to call anybody in our office, any salespeople. Nobody's going to pitch you on buying anything more. Nobody's going to laugh at you for not understanding stuff that you don't understand. I think that's some of the barriers. Why would you ever want to call up a hosting company? That must be a little bit intimidating. If I find it intimidating, I imagine that other people do as well. But with Amazon, there's none of that. You just go there and you create your server the same way you buy a book or a pair of blue jeans or a refrigerator. You just use the online system to create it. Now, it's a little bit more complicated. But that's what EC2 for Poets is all about. It says basically, come to me as a intelligent person who is interested in this idea and give me up to an hour of your time. And in that hour, I will show you how to set up a server. And you'll actually set up the server and you'll go to a web page that's hosted on your own site, on your own server. Now, what's the point of this exercise? Well, there are at least a couple of them. One is to learn, and not just for you to learn, although, of course, that's important. It's also for me to learn. I want to see if my theory is true, that normal people could actually set up a server in the cloud. And so if you're successful with it, I really encourage you to post a comment there at the end of the how-to that says, hey, it worked, and this is what I did, and this is where I found a problem with it or whatever, and we'll sort of go back and fix it. But I'm also interested in learning, what are your ideas? Now that you know that you can do this, and not only do you know it, because there's a difference between knowing it and really feeling it, really knowing it at a level of, oh, I actually did it. That may unlock a lot of ideas and maybe even some feature requests. So if you know some developers who create server software, and say, well, can I run that? And they'll say, no, you can't run that. It's too complicated. I said, no, try this EC2 for Poets thing. I was able to get a server up and running doing that. And that might open up the developer's eyes a little bit to say, oh, my God, maybe people can actually do this. And so maybe they'll do some more packaging, because there's nothing inherently more complicated about installing software on a server than there is about installing software on your Mac or PC. It's pretty much the same thing. In fact, it's exactly the same thing. I installed Firefox on the prototype server that you're all, when you go through the process of setting up your own server on EC2 for Poets, you get a server that also has a copy of Firefox installed on it, because I think Firefox is a safer, better browser than MSIE is. And I installed it the same way I installed it on my Asus EEE PC1000HE, which I just got. You go to Mozilla.com and you download, you say, I want to install this, and it installs. It takes all the mystery out of it when you realize that the box that's sitting up there is just like the one that's on your desk. If you happen to have a Windows machine. If you don't have a Windows machine, then it's a lot like your box, but not running the same operating system as yours does. Another thing that happened that made this possible was that, and this was only recently, that Microsoft decided somehow that Windows XP could be installed this way. And it created an opportunity that they didn't make a big deal out of, but I think it really is a big deal, that that anybody now can create their own version of Windows. That's basically what I've done. You know, when you install, when you create, this is the terminology, when you create an instance of my AMI, don't worry, what is Amazon Machine Image? Does that help? Well, that's what AMI stands for. When you create an instance of that, you're actually installing a version of Windows that I created specifically for this experiment. I think that is an amazing bit of power that has gone way underreported and underappreciated. And I think it's incredibly cool. And, you know, if you're a developer type, this is something that you can do as well. You can also, by the way, I should mention, you can do it with Linux, as you know. And they have all different flavors of Linux up there because Linux is open source, so they can freely distribute that. But up until like a few months ago, I think it was like about 6 months ago, it was only Linux. But that's when they made their deal with Microsoft, and all of a sudden you could do it with Windows too. And I thought that was really awesome. So what does this enable? Well, the way I think about it is, I call it EC2 for poets. I've hopefully explained what that means. And in terms of like the roadmap, where is this going? I think of it as shrink wrap software in the sky. Back in the 80s, and we don't do this anymore, so the idea of shrink wrap software now is more of a concept than and something that really many people do. Although you do it. Like, I've got a copy of Spore here from Will Wright, and Spore comes in a box. It's not actually inside of shrink wrap, but it could be. And to install it, I take out the CD and I stick it into my computer, and up pops a program that says, "Please install me," and I install it, and a few minutes later I'm running Spore. I think that is where we can go. I also think this is another goal here, is that by showing the quickest, shortest path to getting a server up and running, this sets a baseline for not only Amazon, although I really, if it just set a baseline for Amazon, that would be great. It would be enough for me. This is a document that we can improve on. In other words, look at every step in this process as an opportunity to create a default, and thereby saying that the user doesn't actually have to set up a security group or create a key pair or all of the things that you have to do, which aren't really too much for somebody to do. They don't represent a huge hurdle, but maybe we could streamline that process. So that's benchmark, that's baseline number one. Now, there's another baseline here that it sets, another sort of let's not go any lower than this for Amazon's competitors. So I'd love to see somebody else produce a rack space for poets that gets you up doing more or less the same thing. In fact, it should be exactly the same thing when all's said and done. So let's see how that compares to the EC2 for poets. Is it longer? Well, then Rackspace has some work to do. Is it shorter? Well, then Amazon has some work to do. Let's also get one of these going for App Engine. App Engine has the potential, I think, to be even simpler than all of these things. It means creating an installer for Python apps and packaging these things up in such a way so that the user just has to go type some information into a web page and click submit, and boom, they've got one of whatever. And there came up a really interesting opportunity for that with Jaiku, which was just released as open source in the same time frame that I was producing this document. And I asked the question on Scripting News, well, how do I create one of these things? And the answer came back was a document that I absolutely couldn't understand, and I didn't feel like it met me at a reasonable place. So what I'd like to see is not just an App Engine for poets, but a Jaiku for poets. In other words, something that a person who wants their own microblogging system can run through, step by step, and create their own Jaiku. Another one is the Laconica for poets. And my friend Ken Sedgwick, fellow Berkeleyite, has got an incredibly good start on that. And that is something I hope to participate in the next few weeks. I hope to have that going. And then you've got basically a competitor to this hypothetical Jaiku for poets. In other words, it's time to stop thinking about these servers as being things for geeks and start thinking of about them for people with ideas. And then we're really going to see an explosion. Also think about designers when you're doing this. So far, designers have played no role in the development of microblogging. Think about it. Twitter doesn't have a way for somebody to set a template like blogs did. And so think about how you can involve designers in this as well. And then once all this is done, where we'll be is where I think we need to be, and where more and more people realize we need to be. You know, this happens early in every technology that we end up relying on a technology company too much. But it's at first it makes perfect sense because we don't understand the technology. So we need somebody to set it up for us and make it simple. But then that has its downside because we end up being controlled by them and they may be taking us someplace where we don't want to go. And so then the users break out and they do it on their own. It happens all the time. It happened in the PC software era with copy protection. It happened with networking, with the web. You know, the big technology companies of the day were trying to create the real network that everybody would use. And for a while it worked. We used their networks until we realized what we really wanted was to not have any technology companies at all controlling us. And, you know, and then it happens all the time. It's part of the cycle of technology. Well, if this cycle with Twitter is like every other cycle, and there's no reason to believe it's not, there will come a point in time where we're going to want to operate our own Twitters. And the easier it is to do it, the sooner that is going to come, and the more growth we're going to see as a result of it. So consider EC2 for Poets my contribution to that process of let's make this happen sooner rather than later. And then I guess the last part of the roadmap is a very personal one. I want to be able to create software that runs, shrink wrap software that runs in the cloud. And so I needed to show people how to do this. So that I could then ship products into this space. And interestingly, once you've installed, or at least interesting to me, that once you've installed the image that's called for in EC2 for Poets, you now have a copy of my OPML editor running, and it's listening on it's a web server, which means it's listening on port 80. Not that everybody knows exactly what that means. And there is a command in the MISC menu called Tool Catalog. And if you select it, you'll see a list of things that you can install. So there's a News River aggregator. There's the Twitter calendar, which archives the tweets, your tweets and the tweets of the people you're following. And there are many other things in there, and there will be more over time. First, I need to catch my breath. And some of you guys, now it's your turn to get busy. Hopefully a bunch of people will try this out over the weekend and into next week. And ask questions. If you hit problems, let us know what they are. There are already quite a few EC2 people who know their way better than I do around EC2, because I'm still very much a newbie in this cloud business. And they're gathered around, and we're sort of waiting to see what will happen. So I hope you give it a try, and that's about it. Thank you very much for your attention, and see you real soon all over the web. Okay, bye-bye.